Hi, I'm your podcast host, Felicia Lynch, coach, author, and owner and director of Kitch Consulting and Coaching Limited, a consulting firm based in the Caribbean. We're continuing our show on identity, purpose, and destiny. We've spent a long time on identity, I know, but the reality is, if we don't get straight our identity, and particularly our identity in Christ, then we can't really walk in purpose. Today's episode, I want to share with you about three foundational principles that impact our identity in Christ. They're what I call foundational keys. And so it's going to be something that if you've been in Christ and in faith for a long time that you probably know about. And in which case, then hopefully it's a refresher and just affirms what you know, but within the context of identity, and something that you can pass on and share with people who are maybe newer in the faith. If it's new to you, then again, I hope it's something that you're going to be able to sort of grab onto. And in those difficult times when you're questioning who you are and, you know, whether or not you have a purpose, or that these are things that you can hold on to. So let's jump in. It's spoken about a lot these days about having this identity in Christ, and we can pull up on Google a whole list of things, such as being co-heirs with Christ, citizens of the kingdom of God, kings, priests, and prophets, more than conquerors, and so on. But I believe if we don't first receive and believe these three foundational keys, then it's really hard to believe the other stuff. So let me start first with the fact that when we come to Christ, our identity changes. Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So that's our starting point, and we need to believe that. We often think about, when we accept Jesus as our Savior and we come to Christ and we think about the good news, we think primarily in terms of salvation, i.e., you know, Jesus died on the cross, paid our penalty for sin, so we're not going to go to hell. That's still the central premise that many people hold on to when they come and accept Christ. But we receive so much more than that. We really need to understand that in the kingdom of God, there is so much available to us and so much open to us, and that part of walking in purpose is that we seek, you know, to bring, you know, his kingdom come on earth as it will be done in heaven. And so understanding what we receive when we come to Christ and understanding that it goes beyond, you know, our salvation is critical to how we view our own identity, and when we start looking at purpose. So let's start with the first key. The first one is justification by faith. I'm sure this is something that is not new to many of you. Jesus' death on the cross means that we're actually legally justified. That means we're not found guilty by God. You know, he says he forgives us and remembers our sins no more, and that our sins are as far as east is from west. That means, in short, that we receive a clean slate. And that means that we don't have to, you know, feel shame and judgment or condemnation. And this is really important. From a secular perspective, we know that shame and judgment are unhealthy feelings. Brené Brown, who I'm really fond of in terms of as an author, she wrote in her book Daring Greatly about guilt and shame, and this is what she said. "Based on my research and the research of other shame researchers, I believe that there is a profound difference between shame and guilt. I believe that guilt is adaptive and helpful. It's holding something we've done or failed to do up against our values and feeling psychological discomfort. I define shame as the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love and belonging. Something we've experienced, done, or failed to do makes us unworthy of connection. I don't believe shame is helpful or productive. In fact, I think shame is much more likely to be the source of destructive, hurtful behaviour than the solution or cure. I think the fear of disconnection can make us dangerous. So what we see from this, my big takeaway, was that shame, wreaks havoc on our sense of belonging, connection and worthiness, and therefore on our sense of self and our identity. And what we know, because we're justified and we have a clean slate, if we believe that, then, and and also what scripture tells us is that, Romans 10:11, I think, says everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. There are so many scriptures that tell us that we will not be put to shame, that we don't have to carry these feelings around anymore. And so it's really critical for us to accept and believe justification by faith, so that we remember that it's God's grace that, is in operation in our lives. So I'm not, I don't have to worry about whether I'm unworthy or whether I'm bad or any of those things, because the slate has been wiped clean. I'm not who I was. I'm a new creation. And the reason I can say that is because I've been justified. So that's the first key. The second key is sanctification. And again, we have to settle this, that our identity is not who we were. When we're called to Christ, yes, we're called to be holy as he is holy. And sanctification is that process that the Lord takes us through of making us like him, of conforming us to the image of his son, Jesus. And it means that we're set apart. We're set apart because we look different, because we look like Jesus. And I have to say, we must give ourselves some grace that this sanctification is progressive. It doesn't happen overnight with most people. I came to Christ and I was living between my house and my boyfriend's house, and we were sleeping together. And so, so much, was wrong, and sinful in my life. But it didn't change the fact that my heart was for the Lord, and my desire actually for the Lord and to obey him was greater than my desire for the sinful things in my life. But it still took time for those things to change. And we have to give ourselves that time and know that it's the Holy Spirit who walks through with us and transforms us. We don't do it by ourselves. We know the scripture tells us that, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so it takes a while to undo and unlearn all that stuff that we learn out in the world and that we hold fast to. But the key part is that we need to have a repentant heart. So we're going to fall, we're going to make mistakes, as we journey through and as God is, sanctifying us. But he knows our heart, and that's what he looks at. And as long as we turn to him when we fall short and repent, and remembering that, in the Greek is metanoia. And what that means is to turn aside. And so when we fall, we need to quickly turn aside, come to God and confess it, and he's just and able and willing to forgive us. And so we don't have to live in that. And so we must not remember who we were and take that as being our identity. And that also means that we shouldn't let other people keep reminding us of who we were. You'll get people who will say, you can't be a Christian. I remember when you used to do this and when you did this and when you did that. And that's true. We all have fallen short of the glory of God, but that's why we needed a savior. And so we have to, as I say, be gracious to ourselves and remember that our identity is now, found in us being the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That said, on the flip side, if we're not walking in holiness and we're not repentant, it's going to also impact our relationship and therefore our identity with God, because it will keep us from being intimate with him. We won't chase after him. We won't want to be in his presence because we know we've done something. And we may even then start to experience shame and condemnation. And it's interesting because I think condemnation is what Brené Brown, when she said in her quote, that it's helpful because it helps us to look at our behavior up against this standard. I think what she's actually talking about is not condemnation, it's conviction. Whereas condemnation is what we can often experience when we walk in sin and we don't come to God and we don't repent. And I know for me, one of the key scriptures that I learned when I first came to Christ was that there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ. But we have to know that God's love for us is unconditional, but he wants the best for us in terms of walking holy as he is holy, because life will go well with us then when we walk holy. It's because God's better ways are just that, they're better for us. But it does not mean that we won't suffer the adversities of life. We live in a fallen and broken world. And so, we will see trials and troubles. But in general terms, when we walk holy as he is holy, then life goes well with us. It's interesting because we can convince ourselves that, well, you know, the little things don't matter, particularly because we may still, for example, be flowing in our spiritual gifts. But we also have to remember that the gifts are without repentance. Another version, I think, says the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. So you can still walk in your gifts, but still be in a situation and a place where you're not right with God, and that process of sanctification might be stunted. And, you know, we also have to remember, particularly when we start thinking about purpose, that our gifts make room for us. So they'll put us in the place where we can, you know, walk out our purpose and, you know, our assignment and all of that. But it's our character, that holiness, and the work of sanctification that God does in us, that is going to keep us where God positions us to walk out our purpose. And then the third key is reconciliation. Jesus' death on the cross allows us to be reconciled with God. So we know that we no longer have to, are out of his presence, that we can come into relationship with him. But here's the beautiful thing about it, is that God can now come to us in the capacity that he loves most, which is not as judge, but as father. And that change in relationship is absolutely critical to our identity, because we become his children. And that's an amazing privilege. The creator of the universe now calls us his children. And one of the things that we know is that families are supposed to be safe places. They're supposed to be where we're loved, accepted, and where we're disciplined. And fathers are supposed to take care of their children. And this is what we can be assured of. But the fact is, when we have earthly fathers that have fallen short, many of us might find it hard to see God as a father. You know, I was blessed to have a good father figure. You know, my dad was a great role model. But if you didn't, then that impacts or may impact how you see, how you see God as father. I mean, it's like A.W. Tozer said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So if what comes into our mind is negative, because we're relating it to our experience of our earthly father, then that says a lot about us, because it says that we haven't really received the love of God or God as father. And so, how do we change that? How do we do that? Well, really, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, 14 to 17 says this: "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." So the Holy Spirit is the one that is going to reassure us that we are God's children. And when it talks about Abba, Father, that was an intimate phrase that was used. It was like saying daddy, and so we have become children of God. You know, God is our father. So he's not this distant, person, but he's the one that looks after us and is going to nurture us and grow us. And so we have to take on and accept fully you know, the fact that we're reconciled and that reconciliation has allowed us to become sons of God. I mean, that's just an amazing privilege. And so I hope that these three foundational keys that we've spoken about, which is justification, sanctification, and reconciliation, are something that you will hold on to, because what we know, as I said, is that when we're justified, we have a clean slate. We don't have to walk in shame or condemnation. When we know and are clear that we're sanctified, that we know then that we, you know, that it's progressive. We can give ourselves grace when we fall down, and as long as we come back and repent and stay close to God, that, you know, we can lean into that we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, a new creation. And then lastly, when we think about reconciliation, we can stand knowing that we are now in the family of God and that we're sons of God, children. And so I hope that this really is something that, you know, you will receive in your spirit, because it's going to help you really lean into your identity in Christ. As I close today, I just wanted to share this with you. I'm reminded of this song called Amen by King and Country. And it talks about coming alive with the Lord. And that's really where we want to be. We want to be in a situation where we feel comfortable, not comfortable is even the wrong word, where we feel alive in Him, and where we know and are so solid in our identity and His love for us, that that's what is our sort of propelling force. And one of the other things that this song talks about is Resurrection Day is here. Bells are ringing loud and clear. Caterpillar to a bird of flight, risen to another life. And that's what happens to us. We rise to another life, and we become, as we said, new creatures in Christ. And so I just wanted to speak to any of you who, you know, because of shame of your past, or things that you've done, and you know, you were walking with God and you're no longer, because you just didn't feel that you could get back there, that, you know, He's still there, you're still His child, He's still available, and you can recommit your life to Him. And for those that don't know Him, but really want to experience that coming alive and knowing, you know, that you've been justified and that your sins are forgiven, and that you're going to walk into this new life, then I'd just invite you to pray with me and say this, you know, this prayer with me. Lord, I come to you today, Jesus. I put my past behind me because I want to walk forward with you. I confess that you are the only one that can save me today, because you died on the cross to give me life, to take away my sins, and to reconcile me with God. And in reconciling me, make me your child. And I want that today. So I just turn aside from what I was doing. I come to you, Jesus, and I say thank you for your resurrection power that has given me new life. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that today, then, you know, tell somebody about it. Make it real. You can contact me on my website is www.feliciallynch.com, and let me know about it. I'd love to celebrate with you and share some resources if you're open to that. So, as always, if you enjoyed this podcast, if it was you found it helpful, then please do like, subscribe, and share it. And I'll see you next week when we start talking about purpose. Bye.